This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
For Europe and other allies, the U.S. holds off new tariffs for 30 days. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. It is May 1st, and the Trump administration has now given the European Union, Canada, and Mexico until June 1st to work out a deal to avert trade penalties on foreign steel and aluminum. The EU welcomes the one-month breathing room but wants a permanent deal. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams joins me here live from Washington. Kimberly, who gets what for now?
So the Trump administration in their announcement reminded us that there's already a deal with South Korea, which includes quotas on steel exports to the U.S. They are close to a deal with Argentina, Brazil, and Australia, so they have an open-ended exemption pending that deal being finalized. But the sticking points are, like you said, Canada, Mexico, and the EU, who only get another 30 days to make a deal.
Specifically, a final 30 days, as the note from the White House said. What's holding up a deal for Canada, Mexico, and the EU?
So for Canada and Mexico, the Trump administration seems to want to wrap a deal on these 232 steel and aluminum tariffs. That's a section of the law that he's using to justify it. And the Trump administration wants to wrap those into ongoing NAFTA negotiations. The EU is pretty much locking horns with the Trump administration on this, threatening retaliatory tariffs if they don't eventually get a permanent exemption. And the European Commission argues that these tariffs just aren't really justified by national security.
And underneath these negotiations at the country and regional level are actual businesses. Must be a lot of uncertainty.
It is. All of this back and forth makes it hard for businesses to plan, and they have to plan. They have to take time and money to prepare contingencies just in case. So, for example, with steel, we're seeing signs of a surge in steel imports and exports as companies try to stockpile or sell to potentially avoid what might be coming.
Our Kimberly Adams in Washington, thank you. Let's check financial markets. The Federal Reserve starts a two-day meeting today to get the state-of-the-art assessment of the U.S. economy, especially about inflation and growth. Tomorrow, the Fed will announce something, but probably not an increase in interest rates for now. One benchmark for U.S. rates is up a bit at 2.96%. Dow and S&P futures are down 0.3%. What erupted in West Virginia this winter has become what some call a movement: public school teachers striking for higher pay and more funding for education. A strike of 50,000 teachers in Arizona is entering a fourth day this morning after a big rally in downtown Phoenix yesterday. Conservatives argue taxes cannot keep getting higher. Teachers over in Oklahoma ended their April walkout after 9 days. Among the Oklahoma marchers was Craig Hoxie, a high school physics teacher in Tulsa, a military veteran with 18 years' experience working in the public schools. He's now decided to run for the Oklahoma State House as a Democrat. I asked him if he went on the big march because of what he personally is paid.
No, actually it's not. I'm a mid-level career teacher with a master's degree, so in terms of what we get paid in Oklahoma, I'm doing okay. What our younger teachers, the people newer into the profession, are getting paid is pretty abysmal. But the biggest reason I walked out is just the lack of funding in the classrooms, the lack of services in the state. We've reached a point where we can't do our basic functions anymore.
So here comes the other shoe dropping. You're thinking of running for office now?
I am running for office. The filing period opened up 2 days after I finished my march to the Capitol with several hundred of my closest friends now. But I've went ahead and filed for state representative in my district.
if it all works out for you, and I know it's a long road ahead, but if you win, how might you apply that power to solving the problems you've just been discussing in the schools?
Well, the biggest thing that we have to do is recognize that we have to bring revenue in to be able to keep society functioning. And so we would be looking very hard at our revenue sources once we got into the legislature. We would also be looking very hard at our other expenditures. We currently have the, if not the highest, next to the highest incarceration rate in the United States. And we'd be looking at why that is. And I can tell you that one of the main reasons that is because we are heavily involved in the private prison industry. We have contracts that require us to keep 90% of beds filled. And we're paying huge sums of money for putting people in jail for things that probably aren't crimes in other states.
I heard you at the beginning, a bit of an irony, that you're not complaining about your own salary as an 18-year veteran teacher.
I'm not. I'm an 18-year veteran teacher. I spent 5 years in school administration. I have had to work a second job a lot of the time that I've been in education. But in terms of my personal pay, we're making it. Of course, I could cross the border to Bentonville, Arkansas, and the starting pay for someone with my degree is more than I make now. And the other thing that really strikes me about pay in Oklahoma in general, as low as teacher pay has been compared to the states around us, we still have people who are willing to take jobs as emergency certified teachers to fill the holes that we have because their other jobs pay so little. It's not just a problem of teacher jobs. It's a problem of every job in this state not paying what it should.
Craig Hoxie is running for state legislature in Oklahoma. He's an AP physics teacher at Booker T. Washington High School there. Mr. Hoxie, thanks.
Thank you, David.
Teacher salaries in Oklahoma are public, and Mr. Hoxie told me with his 18 years teaching and a master's, he makes about $49,000 a year, including a few hundred extra for doing National Honor Society. You heard him say he feels he personally is well compensated. According to national stats, his salary is less than the typical income for other honorable careers, such as brick mason, carpenter, cook, or drywall installer. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.